Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
God will not leave you. Worship team, thanks. Give you a couple of minutes before you come back. God just kind of weaved things together this morning again, as He does these choruses that you just sang in worship and as reminders and declarations of faith about God can do impossible things, that you and I need Him, we need Him now, and that He would bring the scripture forth that says that He will never leave you or forsake you. See, the Scripture is given to us, all of Scripture is given to us to correct us, instruct us, right? To bring encouragement to us. Everything. This wasn't just His word to them, this is His word to us. That everything that is in here, you can apply, I can apply to my life. This is His word to you. Go ahead, tell people near you again. Said, this is His word to you. This is His word to you. Hear this. He says, I will never. What does never mean to you? I will never. What does never mean to you, right? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never. Now, I know you might be going through, well, I don't know about that because this has gone on in my life before and this is what happened and I don't understand it and that was pretty tough and that was pretty hard and, you know, maybe God was, you know, on His lunch break. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's ever present in times of trouble. And just because you and I may have a misinterpretation of what's happening and unfolding because we do not see as He sees, don't blame Him for it. He saw that you and I need a Savior, and He sent one, His Son. And God isn't on break, and He's not on lunch.
Amen.
He's paying attention, and He makes promises, and He is one who can keep them. I will never leave you or forsake you. Never. What kind of security should that bring to your soul? What kind of security should come to my soul to recognize that He will never leave me and He will never forsake me? You see, if I kept that scripture verse as one of them at the forefront of my mind, I would interpret this life, its circumstances and situations, I would interpret them very differently. Whatever I'm going through, He's not leaving me. Now, if He's not leaving, where does that put Him? Who said with me? Several of you. Okay, you'll get a little gold star once you get there, Shirley. If He's not left you, where does that put Him? That puts Him with you. Now watch this. This is the beauty of this. Matt, good to see you in town. This is the beauty of this. If He's not left you and He's with you, all of His virtue, all of who He is, everything, everything He has said, everything that He has promised, all of it is in who He is. And if He is with you, all that He is available to you. Everything. Everything concerning Him is available to you. which means he can be totally, completely engaged in your life based upon your need. Come on, many of you in here are parents. Some of your children have grown up and left the home. Amen. I was just going to say hallelujah. He has a buffer sitting between him and his daughter. It's his son-in-law. You remember raising them? Love those complete headaches. Constantly watching. Head on a swivel. And then you have a second one, a third one, a fourth one, and yeah, as God intended. That child's in need or needs something. You call upon all the resource you have to care for that child. Married, loving each other and living separate lives because you have to live at the Ronald McDonald House and you have to be at the hospital and you have to go to work because you still got to pay bills and Grandma Sally's there. And you, all of your resource to love you, Cece. All of your resource. You give up sleep. Irritability comes. And you're on the same team. But it shows up, but you give grace because it's within your resource in him. And money didn't matter. Your child does. All of them. Same for the rest of you. Unless you are so inept and corrupt and dark. I'm trusting that you as a parent have some goodness in you. All of your resource available to your child. Now, if you and I know how to do that to the best that we can, if we who are flawed by sin, by our limitations, how much more will our Father in heaven do that for us? And he's perfect. Amen. That everything he is, you need mercy, he's got it. And it's yours. You need grace, you've got it. He has it. It's yours. You need him to show up with might and power? You need him to move heaven and earth? He can. Whatever your need is, wherever you're short, he has the resource. And if he is with you and did not leave you, then all that he is, every attribute, every character, every part of who you've discovered he is, or you haven't discovered it, but you've read about him, that he's revealed in his word, that is written to you, it's available. Well, that sounds a little borderline like prosperity gospel, Pastor Randy. Yeah. You think he gave you this to make you poor? Think he wrote this so that, well, I know you need mercy, but I just don't have any. I'm not going to give it to you. Or I've got it, but I'm going to withhold it from you. If you and I, as fathers and mothers, know how to do good for our children and we're flawed, how much more will our Father in heaven step into place and everything that he is and everything that he has promised is made available to you and I? It doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Right? Sin came. And you and I have committed some. But He still loves you. And you and I need His love, and we need His forgiveness. Well, guess what? That's who He is, and that's what He's provided, and that's what He makes available to you. Does your child have to be perfect for you to love them? Your imperfections do not cause God to love you less. Now, people might give you that message once in a while, but they're flawed. Everything that He is can be engaged into your life at any moment, no matter what the circumstance. So here's the question for you and I to consider. Will you boldly believe? Or are you going to say, well, I did this, therefore? Well, this is a really hard circumstance, and so, oh, there's people who have greater needs, and, you know, God's busy, and I don't want to bother them, and or whatever list you come up with of nonsense so that you can escape the responsibility to boldly believe. I will never leave you. Never. You continue to resist Him. We know that the Apostle Paul writes that God will turn you over to your own desires. Doesn't mean He left you. He's just turning you over to your own desires. And why does He do it? So that hopefully you and I will come to our senses and turn around and get back to Him. But don't think for a moment that He's left you. He hasn't. He will never leave, and He will never forsake. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul, he writes, and you and I, you know, when we read something, sometimes we lose a little bit, okay? We lose a little bit than if we are there to also hear it and watch it, right? Books are great, right? Books are great because you in your mind, as you read, your mind, everybody's a little different, you create the scene in your mind, right? And it's impactful. But, you know, if you watch a movie, and however they portray it and the drama of it, it impacts you because you're listening, but you're also watching. It's kind of the difference between a textbook in chemistry and then going over to the lab and blowing something up, right? Both are important. They both have their impact. But the Apostle Paul writes something here, and I want you to somehow envision the intensity of the Spirit in what He writes to you and I. Because remember, this is for you. Apostle Paul writes that he's convinced. You know what that means, right? He's totally persuaded. 100% convinced. This is fact. It's not up for a vote. I'm convinced. This is a done deal for me. It's not going to come back up on the table where I get to vote on it and discuss it again. I'm convinced. Discussion's over. Convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nothing present, nothing that will come around the corner for me in my future. There are no powers. There's no height, there's no depth, there's nothing that has been created that has the ability to separate us from the love of God, which has been revealed in Christ Jesus. Then why fret? Because you and I forget that God will never leave us. We pray like he's out there somewhere, like we hope he hears us. Instead of the kind of prayer that turns and talks to someone who's present with you. Which we can do because he doesn't leave us and he doesn't forsake us. He knows what it is to be left. He knows what it is to be forsaken. And he does not want that for you. So he will never leave and he will never forsake. And all who he is available to you in every moment. Will you boldly believe what he has written to you? Dear Mandy, in the beginning, dear Mandy, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Dear Larry, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Dear Brian, don't interpret your circumstances of the past as if God wasn't with you. Because he still gave you breath that you're here, that you can talk about it. Because he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Dear Whitney, God knows you. He knows who you were born to. He knows your childhood. He knows your questions. He knows your pain. He knows your past. All the good, all the bad, all the ugly. But he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He ain't leaving you, and he ain't forsaking you. And he will not leave your daughter, and he will not forsake your daughter. Amen. Dear Scott, he knows it all. He knows the secrets. He knows your inner working, your inner thoughts. And he will not leave you, and he will not forsake you. Turn to a couple people around you and say, why fret? Why worry? He knows what you need. And he has everything in his resource. He has given you everything you need in his divine power for you to live a life of godliness. Amen. And faith unto him. Through every hardship, through every failure, and dusting you off and washing you in his blood. I want you to stand to your feet, would you please? Worship team, come. Listen to this. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus speaking, and he says, Therefore, I tell you, do this. I'm going to say dear, and you say your name. Dear. Dear. Do not be anxious about your life. This is Jesus. And I'm not minimizing what the prophets say or what the apostles say. Not minimizing what the prophets say or what the apostles say, because we know it's all the word of God, but Jesus himself said this. He wasn't pouring it through another vessel or another person. He said, don't be anxious about your life. Because he knows something. That God will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. The apostle was convinced. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. What does nothing mean to you? Don't be anxious about your life. Not even about what you'll eat and what you drink, or about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he gives an example. He says, consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet have the Heavenly Father feeds them. Then he says, are you not more important than the birds of the air? Yes, you are. And which of you, by being anxious or worrying, can add a single hour to the span of your life? Why are you anxious about these things? Clothing. Consider the lilies of the field. Are they, how they grow? They don't toil or spin, and yet I tell you, each one of those are dressed with more glory than Solomon. If God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow it's burned up, how much more will he clothe and take care of you? Oh, you of little faith. So this, therefore, don't be anxious about your life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Now, does this mean that you shouldn't plan or you have no responsibility in this life? Of course you do. But these things should not dominate you to the point where you are anxious about any circumstance in your life. That's the difference. You're the people of God. Listen to what he says. For the Gentiles, or at this time, the pagans, those who don't know God, have faith in the living God or his Son, Jesus, the Savior. He says, those people who don't know God, they run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father, he already knows what you need. Everything he is, and he hasn't left you, that means he's present, and all that he is available to you. You don't know the meeting I'm going to have. You don't know how angry my ex-spouse is. We're going to court. You don't know how empty my checkbook is. Oh, sorry. Most of you don't write checks anymore. You can name your circumstance, your situation. You don't know how hard it is. I'm sorry, there's nothing too difficult for him. Scripture says it. Dear you, your name, there is nothing too difficult for God. Nothing is impossible through Jesus Christ. Dear you, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. His Holy Spirit has come to endow you with power. Power not just to do ministry, but power to overcome you. So quit standing in your way. Rebuke yourself. Rebuke the anxiety, the worry. Your body and soul need some rest. Need you to sleep a little and eat a little and be at peace, because he is not out there somewhere. He is with you, because he won't leave you. And he won't forsake you. Heidi, don't worry about that wedding gown that you dreamt about since you were however tall. You started dreaming about that wedding day that's coming up to that good-looking dude next to you. I know you probably searched and went around. It's got to be just right. And it should be. It's your wedding. But your dress is not more important than being married to this guy. At the end of that day, you're going to be married. But you should compliment her dress when you see it, Mac. You know what you and I need to be concerned about? Jesus tells us. Seek first the kingdom of God and search and look for his righteousness. You and I should seek his kingdom first and his righteousness more diligently than Heidi's looked for a wedding dress or any other bride in this place who's worn one. I remember what it was like. I have three daughters. The wedding dress was important. To my wife. In fact, there's moments I thought the wedding dress was more important to her than her daughters thought it was. Part of the fun. Part of the anxiety of what price tag are they coming home to me with? Hey, it's great. They got married. And they were reasonable. They took it easy on the old man. and they've never worn it again. Oh, Brittany, smile at me. You see, seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. Because if you do, He says this. This is the promise. All these things, in other words, all the things we, you know, just fixate on, all the things we think we have to have, all the things we have to solve, all the things that we've got to deal with, all the hardships that come down the road and around the corner, and all this stuff that, you know, for us, we choose to have anxiety over and be anxious over and worry about or chase. He says, seek My kingdom and My righteousness. All this other stuff, it'll be added to you. Because He already knows what you need. And He hears when you talk to Him, because He's not out there somewhere. You change your mind about that. I'm right here. I'll tell you just this brief little story. I have an uncle. His name is Pete. And he's taken a fall or two down the basement stairs. And he's older now. Banged himself up. And he's been at the bottom of those stairs. And he told me the story. He said, I looked up. I started to talk to God. And he heard the voice of the Lord, not audibly, but that revelation of, you know, God's talking to you. And God said to him, why are you looking up there? I'm right here. I don't know what you face today. But He will not leave you, and He will not forsake you. I don't know what you're chasing. I don't know what you've got anxiety about. Saying, well, there's a reason I have anxiety about this is because, well, I didn't do this real well. So now I got to try to come up with whatever to meet the need because I wasn't real faithful. But He's faithful. All that He is available to you because He is right there. If there's deacons and deacons' wives and pastors' spouses in the room today, would you just come and stand across the front? Yeah. Just come and stand across the front. I'd appreciate it. Yeah. Larry, is your wife here today? You tell her I said hi. She watching at home? Hi, Lisa. Larry, we're going to need a little help up here today. Would you come and stand up over here? Some people might want some prayer. Just stand here and turn around and face them. I'd appreciate that very much. If you're here, and you're worried about something, there's something you have some anxiety about, or you're facing something challenging and say, I don't have a lot of anxiety about it. I'm trusting the Lord, but boy, oh boy, I bumped that boundary. I'm getting close to worry, to anxiety.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.